Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. You are listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. My name is Zeese Martel, and today is Sunday, the 10th of April, which happens to be the 9th of Ramadan. I know it's been a little while since I made a podcast, but like I said before, that this training at my job is taking up pretty much all of my time. By that I mean not so much time as in I'm working more. It's just the schedule flips around every week for different hours and so forth. So I am the type of person that is very much do the same thing routinely, and when my routine is disrupted, you get this. But I did notice something, though. I have this disability called myoclonus dystonia, and I had it my whole life. And it went improperly diagnosed, I guess you can say. And I just managed to live my existence around this. When my son was born, we noticed the same thing in him. And by now, with modern medicine, because composed to medicine from the 80s or the 90s, especially in neurology and this type of thing, which this is, which this actually is a disease that is neurological. When he got diagnosed with it, then I was correctly diagnosed, and this is like a passed on, supposedly paternally. So you can see how that goes. But I think it affects me in ways that I didn't know until going through this training. The past week and a half or 2 weeks, I kind of hit a wall at training, and it was very difficult. And the part of the training that I'm doing now is police dispatch training. And so that is one of the things that I can do in my position as a transit supervisor. So all of us who work in the transit control center need to know how to do it. And so I think what I discovered is that part of this disease is that, like, how I can describe it is that, like, neural pathways aren't completed, so there's, like, a blockage of, like, whatever thought or an action or whatever is traveling along this pathway. And for most people, maybe it may take someone doing maybe 5 times for this path to be, like, made, like, you're to learn something, basically, is what I'm saying. Like, so maybe it might take someone with to learn this simple action, maybe 5 times or 10 times. But I believe for me, because of this dystonia, it takes maybe 100 times, right? Which normally isn't a big thing. It's just it takes more practice or more training in this situation. However, the issue became that... Hold on. It's finally nice again in Minnesota, and I'm outside, and you get the traffic. So, like I was saying, it might take 100 times, you know. So, normally, in every other situation that I've been in my life, this is dealt with, you know, just through patience or me adapting or figuring it out, or if it was something that required, maybe I just gave up, like I couldn't do it, now that I think about it. But perhaps that, I had known about this, I'm not going to hold anybody accountable because it's pretty back then, schools and these types of things were much different than they are today. Basically maybe I just needed a different way to learn or a way that was like slower. So this never occurred to me until just like 2 weeks ago when I had this issue at my job where it's like I kind of hit a wall with dispatching in the fact that things that trigger dystonia are happening in my job. So because that like process, maybe I've done it, you know, say 20 times, so it's not the full 100 times yet, that process isn't, or that pathway isn't developed for the action to be like second nature type of action. And the thing is that according to how, you know, training departments are set up, it's, well, at this point you should be this far along, etc., or you should, you know, be able to do this stuff by now, based, you know, we said that here where I work, it's based on hours. That's how the training goes. So at X amount of hours, you should be able to do this. Like, that's like the minimum amount that they someone declared it takes to learn how to do this set of skills. So when I realized this, I told not only my training manager, the head manager of our whole department, that I think this is an issue. And the only reason it's an issue because we have a policy where it's like a 6-month probationary period, and it's technically like your probation and training. So at the end of the 6 months, it comes down to then they can say, okay, you can do this or you can't do this, or make some sort of whatever decision they need to make. They can say, basically, they can like kick you back to, they can either fire you if you're an outside employee or kick you back to where you came from within the company. So this has never been an issue in the control center. No one's ever brought up disability, which is, I guess, good, but our company also is massive into equity and all this stuff, so it's like kind of like a little like thing, which inshallah this will be accommodated. And perhaps my solution, and I think, would be that either they have a classroom training type of thing that's you're going to go do this, or some other way to learn. Because right now I'm at the point where I'm dispatching live police, right? So they're like, you're supposed to take X amount of time to dispatch this type of priority call, etc., etc. And sometimes like it takes me longer than the time that they want to, the marked time that they want to have. And I think it's taken me longer because the actions, there's like multiple like codes and shortcut commands and these types of things, and because, like I said, it might take a person, a regular person, five times of typing this, you know, string of letters in or something to be able to do it, or the pattern that it has to go into the computer. If anyone listening is familiar with CAD, this is what I'm talking about. So, you know, for me then, if I haven't done that action or something all the way like that, it takes me like a second. It takes me longer because like my brain is like going and then kind of like hits a wall, and we couldn't figure out what that wall was until I sat back one night and thought about my kid, and he has like the issues that he has in school because of this are the same types of issue that's happening to me. And like the effects of it, I see now I'm having the same effects on myself. Like I'm noting the same things that I maybe like, I'm not anxiety, but like going to work, I didn't want to do type of feeling, right? And this I realized from his therapist, that the therapist at school that helps him, he sometimes doesn't want to go to school and is like, and it's not because like regular, he just doesn't want to go to school. It's because he has this like severe anxiety or something is like not right, and it's well, all, you know, in, to some degree everybody has this type of thing, that which is why I'm clarifying it's not just like a anxiety or something. It's something that's deeper inside your brain which anxiety triggers. So this is, you know, kind of an issue now. So it's the past week when we figured all this out. I told my boss, and inshallah, you know, something will come out from it. I don't know what, but hope maybe it might open the doors of some other types of equity work being done in Met Council. So we'll see how it goes. It's Ramadan, so I'm kind of one of a bet. Like, I guess I believe in signs, but I don't really look for signs. Like, and everything isn't a sign to me, anyway. Like, some people view everything as a sign or this. And I guess, ultimately, if you are living in such the moment where you're just following signs, you can say everything is a sign. But I don't live like that. But I do search, I guess, for signs along the path of life. And this past couple things that happened to get me to where I'm at involving this job, like through the interview process and then actually getting hired and the steps that went a bunch of multiple times throughout the process, I was told either I wouldn't get it I didn't get it, or there's a possibility that you might, that something might go wrong, you know? So, you know, we'll see what happens. I laid it on the line with my manager. I do write that I have a disability, in, like, on all the applications and stuff, so it's not that they're unaware of it, and it has come up before, so, I mean, they know that I'm not just, like, making something up, and I've never asked for any single accommodation or anything based off this, so it's not like the type of person who is always like, I need this, or I need this, or something like this. But alhamdulillah, everything is going, I guess, accordingly. Not too much to say. I just wanted to chime in, give a kind of an update of what's going on. We're doing an event in Philly. If you happen to listen to this and the Philadelphia area, in June, we're doing an event there. I believe it's the weekend of June 12th. It's in Germantown, and it's myself, Frank Perrin, who is another Rasmussar guy here. He lives up in the Northeast, and some people from the Historical African Martial Arts Association, HAMA, I believe. So it should be pretty cool. We're going out there. We're all going to get together and do some fun stuff with swords and see how it goes. I'm also fighting in tournaments on May 1st here in St. Paul. So if you live in St. Paul area, Minnesota area, and happen to listen to this and want to come out, it's at Icebreaker. It's the last weekend of April, but I'm only fighting in one of the tournaments, and that is the Mixed Steel Tournament on May 1st. We'll see how I do. I actually signed up for this 3 years ago, but this event has been canceled twice, so, you know, it should be interesting. Should be interesting as things are happening again because of COVID. It's kind of like, it's still there, you know, but it's like, I guess people are just done with it now. You know, they're just like, okay, we need to keep going, which is great. But a lot of things are weird, though, too, because of it. Because of this great time that we lived in. At Icebreaker, I'm going to do Sore or Shamshir and Kame. So, it should be pretty interesting. A Shamshir is a curved sword, Persian. Shamshir is a Persian. But once again, Shamshir just means sword. But even though it's generally classified as a saber type of sword, the word Shamshir just means sword in Persian, much like the word safe in Arabic means sword. But if you, most people think of a curved sword as a safe, but they would be incorrect in that belief. That's just a style, like a later period. Swords in this region were curved. But earlier periods, like the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions, they fought with straight swords. So the battles in the 7th century, led by Prophet Muhammad and the Sahaba, were all used with straight swords. So I'm just going to cut it short here. Like I said, I just wanted to chime in and give a little update of what's going on. And plus with Ramadan, too. So there's like the slow of Ramadan. You know, I try to get in Tarawih. I live far from a mosque now. So it's me doing Tarawih in my house. And one benefit of it is that it helps my Arabic eye brain recognition, I guess, because it allows me to read faster, you know. Tarawih is during Ramadan at night. Yeah, there's a lot of traffic today. It's like here in Minnesota, it's April 10th, and this is like the first really nice weekend all year. I mean, there was literally snow a couple days ago, so I think everyone's cruising. And where we live, it's a nice roads for motorcycles and these types of things to go cruising, so that's what you hear in the background. But Tarawih is at night. It's the recitation of the Quran that goes on at the masjid, or the mosque in English, at night. And normally they recite, the Quran is broken into 30 parts, and they recite one part each night. And it's done depending on who's reciting and who's leading the prayer. It can be longer or shorter, or there's variants of things that can happen during this, but it's basically the recitation of the Quran during the month of Ramadan that happens after the Isha prayer. So since I don't have a masjid, it takes from my house to the closest masjid's probably like 40 minutes if I'm cruising. Probably maybe, yeah, 40 minutes, I'd say, probably to the closest masjid. And that's distance. That's not 40 minutes because of traffic in the city, in the inner city. It's because of, like, distance-wise, it's, like, probably 40 minutes away. I would like to think it's shorter, but it seems 35, 40, yeah, it seems like it's like 40 minutes. In any case, yeah, they need to build a masjid in Forest Lake, Minnesota. That would be pretty nice. So since I live that distance away from the closest one, if I'm not working, I work in downtown Minneapolis. If I'm not working, I tend to just pray at my house. So Tarawih, it's me at night reciting Quran, which is nice, like I said, for those reasons. But it's also time, like another allotment of time that I do during this month. So like the time blocks are taken up, basically, which is why the podcast is kind of like on hold for now. But inshallah, God willing, that this job training is done soon. I'm locked in with my schedule. One thing about this position that's nice is the schedule goes for a year, so it's easy to plan and get in an excellent routine. So, and that was part of my wanting to be in this position because of the scheduling. So with that, thanks for listening. I hope you have a blessed Ramadan, and may Allah bless all of you and guide all of you to the correct path. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.